Live from Los Angeles, this is the Bachelor Masters, and Chris, we got a handful of new followers of our Bachelor Masters Facebook page.
Yes, my personal holiday season came early this year when I woke up to three new followers in one day, course of like 1 hour.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's really quite great and really makes doing the podcast worth it. So thank you to our international group of followers. We hope that the Facebook page will grow over time and become useful for a few things. And EZR, I got to see in person today. We're working on a Bachelor Masters flyer.
Yeah, we got it all cleaned up. Looks nice and straight lined now.
Fantastic. Yes, the straight lines are good. And we'll get it printed on nice green recycled paper at Mood.com. Mood.com is all the rage here in Los Angeles. I don't know if other places it's all the rage, but here in LA.
Not just for cows. That's
right.
What we say in Rochester and upstate New York. It's for everyone.
Do either of you have Mood cards?
Never heard of it.
No.
But...
We get ads for it at work, though, and it does. They do look really cool, personalized, and I didn't know that's where these flyers were coming from. So, way to go.
Yeah, well, we'll see how they look when they come in. It's exciting. We're getting our social media and our physical media worked out. And a little nuts and bolts. So, this is the second to last week of Bachelor Masters. Oh, sorry. No. Bachelor Masters will go on forever. The second to last week of Bachelor in Paradise. And I don't know whether or not they're going to show the reunion that they just recorded like next Tuesday, or if that's going to be like the following week. That's to be determined. And then we don't even have the Bachelor announced yet. So it's going to be a while yet before we get the Bachelor. And I think the three of us are still trying to figure out whether or not we're going to do anything with this Bachelor sports show they're talking about over the winter.
Yeah. Well, it depends how much sports it is and how much Bachelor it is, right?
Yeah.
If it's too sporty, I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's going to be interesting to the viewers if it's too sporty.
Right.
You know?
Well, I wouldn't want it to go too long between our next week and our, the Bachelor Masters podcast after that. It could be months. So maybe we'll have to maybe switch over to Vanderpump Rules or something like that for a bit.
Yes, we'll have to have something to discuss for the hiatus, because it is a long hiatus between Bachelor Masters and Bachelor, as you said. But yeah, who knows what the future holds.
Well, we appreciate all of our listeners. That's you. We hope you'll stick with us. All right, so here we go. I'll just start off by saying I felt that this was a pretty good couple episodes, or one long episode, however you think about it. It kind of felt like Bachelor in Paradises of days past. It wasn't too over the top. It wasn't boring. There were some good moments.
I haven't seen the past episodes, but I had that feeling where I know this is typically your favorite of the Bachelor installments. And I was wondering if this would make you feel like this is the stuff.
Yeah.
This is what you watch for. It seems like we're getting resolution on some things, and there's some good, some last minute drama. I think it's hard to get any real last minute drama, as we see with the newcomers this week, who kind of try and upset things and aren't really able to. But I like these episodes too. And it helped they were shorter.
They felt shorter. Well, the second one was shorter, but they definitely, I didn't get completely worn out like I have in the past few weeks, where I just like can't go on a Tuesday night. It felt like the pacing felt a little bit more natural. EZR, you've been around all this a lot longer than I have, though.
I hate to be the first one to disagree with everyone else, but I really felt that everything felt super manufactured in these two episodes, and you know, even when it's awkward, even when, you know, Jasmine does something episodes past that she's been, you know, trying to mess up. The only thing that felt real, really real, was her trying to, like, you know, high school cheerleader mess up Kristen's little love square she had going. Right. So I don't know. I like how some of it felt, because some of it was obviously really real Dean situations, all these, but all the guys that came, all the new people that came in, it just felt like they were trying to manufacture a lot of drama and it didn't work either way, but the way they were building it up, it felt more wasted.
I see what you're saying. I think they're trying to make the magic they've done in past seasons, where they bring in somebody, you know, the day of the rose ceremony, and it really does shake things up. Someone, a guy or a girl, switches to that new person right away. But I think you're right. They brought in two people plus the twins, and I think all four of them crashed and burned. There was
three people plus the twins, the Fred, Blake, right. Jamie. Right. And then the twins. So it was a lot.
Right.
But it was a lot, you know, sorry, again with the word, but it did feel like leftovery.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Like the hotel, the Triage Green Room Hotel was still full, and they needed to, the producers looked at their calendar and realized they needed to get them all in.
Yeah.
Well, I think Fred gets the short shrift sometimes. Again, he's the one that was labeled a bad kid on Rachel's season. Right. We had no idea why. He came in, and I think by comparison with Blake, who's a big turd, everyone loved him, but he still got no love.
Well, I know we'll get into it, but I really want to know what you guys think about Blake and why they didn't like him. But Ezra, you're saying that you did not like Fred?
Oh, no. I mean, when he came in, he was fine. On the season, he was fine. But when Rachel said on last season on Bachelorette, you know, that he was a bad kid, that I would feel how she felt, unattracted. And that, you know, speaking as an ex-teacher, speaking as an ex-student, all this, the bad kids really bothered me. And I became a bad kid, too. Like, I'm being a hypocrite. But later in high school, but I, you know, someone, what she was saying, what I remember her saying is that, you know, he was just kind of just being defiant, and that would really bug me. And I can totally see why she didn't like him. He seemed fine. He seemed kind of, you know, bland or whatever, along with Blake and along with Jamie in her own way. Uh-huh. But, but we'll get to it. But yeah, that, leftovers.
Yeah, I think I can see what you say about Fred. I just always think it's funny because she knew him when he was like a real little kid.
Right.
It wasn't like he was like a defiant teenager. He was like a 7 year old or
like
something.
Yeah, like a pre-adolescent.
Right.
So,
and that
that's
the part that screams out more, because like me, I feel like I was a manufactured bad kid. Like I wanted to be bad and I was, but I did it on purpose. Whereas if you're a bad kid as a little kid, that's kind of a bad sign to me.
Well, haven't
you know what? It's like, oh, sorry, quick interjection on that. But you do know the Up movies, the documentary series that's like 7 Up, 14 Up, 21 Up, and they follow these people every 7 years.
I know what you're talking about, but I haven't seen it. Uh-huh.
Well, that's that movie goes along with what you're saying, ECR, because it starts with some Jesuit quote, I think, which is like, show me the boy at 7 and I'll show you the man. So they think that like you can know everything you need to know about a person by the time they're 7.
Absolutely.
But anyway.
Well, anecdotally,
I totally believe that.
Mm-hmm. When the Bible was written, the lifespans were a lot shorter than they are now. But I don't think it's unheard of for people to get back with people they knew when they were kids. I think that happens
Right. But she
relatively
had a bad,
frequently.
she had a bad feeling of him about him when he was little, right. And she right. and she masked it by saying that she was, oh, you were that bad kid, you know. But obviously, her feeling was more like, why you were showing me who you were as a young, you know, who you, what kind of adult you are. Right. I don't like that. I mean, there's redemption and all that, but I go with her gut feeling on it.
Well, to be fair, it's not like Rachel chose Fred to be on the show. The producers did.
True.
So that goes back, EZR, to what you were saying about this all being feeling manufactured, is maybe Fred is stoking feelings of manufacturedness in the whole Bachelor universe that you've been harboring this whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I feel like I can already get a sense of maybe how the next hour and a half of our podcast is going to go. And I get a sense that, EZR, you're going to be right on. And because reading social media over the last few days, I think social media has really turned on Christina. And
really?
Really?
That'll be interesting to hear.
Yeah, and also, well, and I think it's also turned on the twins, but we'll get to them. But the thing about Christina is, and I guess this is a spoiler alert. We don't really do spoilers. I don't think the three of us really keep up on spoilers, but I guess this is a spoiler alert, but I don't feel like it's giving away anything. We probably, or, you know, all of our listeners probably don't really, they all probably understand what's going to happen anyway, but apparently it's been revealed on the reunion show that they just taped last week that Dean goes back and starts dating D'Lo, as we all expected him to. But apparently, he flies, I guess, regularly or sometimes to Chicago and meets Christina, not telling Christina that he's with D'Lo, and continues his relationship with Christina.
Whoa.
So she finds out, Christina finds out again that Dean has been playing her after the show completes itself.
So Christina, so the only thing I saw on social media, because I'm not, I deleted a bunch of stuff because I don't like knowing all these things, but also for other reasons. But, you know, it's a waste of time. But I saw a picture of Dean and Christina, and he was hugging her, and in, like, Comic Sans, which, of course, drives everyone crazy. I don't know why he has his setting to that or why. It said, I'm, you know, you're too good for me.
Right, yeah, I saw that, too. Like that. Yeah.
So is this, I thought it was Dean trying to redeem himself, or is it him trying to, like, play both sides? You know, trying to, like, D'Lo would be okay with that comment. Christina would, again, take it as, wow, he still love, you know, it did seem like he's playing both.
I think I said this in relationship to the Canadian. I said that I felt he wasn't smart enough to, like, really be, like, I don't know. We were talking about him, and I said something to that effect. And you disagreed with me. You thought that the Canadian was actually very smart and manipulative.
Did we talk about him?
We did. Yeah, we did a little bit.
Okay.
But I'm beginning to think, just based on what you just said, Ezra, this social media attempt to sort of say, you know, she's out of my league in reference to Christina, but then he goes on there, all this stuff is coming out on the reunion show. I'm willing to venture that Dean isn't smart enough to be juggling all of this, and he's just found himself in a quagmire.
No, but he's definitely not smart enough, but the deal is both girls like him, and so they're willing to, like, ignore his, like, fumbling of trying to juggle them.
Well, spoiler alert, apparently D'Lo, just from what I read, totally, like, has given up on Dean and actually is kind of roasts him on the reunion show a bit.
Yeah, what? That makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, that she this is the best part about, you know, I agree with Christina that you know, D'Lo's a little bit to blame, all that stuff. But what I liked about the one action she made was that she didn't take crap. She gave him an ultimatum.
Right.
He agreed. And that's how Christina should really carry herself. But again, for someone who's having a lot of issues, it's hard to kind of set these boundaries and not have them be, you know, violated. So D'Lo obviously is very, very grounded, and she's definitely, she puts up with it a little bit, but then that's it. And then if that's it, then she's done, which is respectable. But I guess it has more to do with, you know, how grounded she is. It's not really fair to put that on Christina, right, as if, you know, she's not that. So
I feel like Chris can add some value to our conversation here.
Well, I'm in shock a little bit about some of these spoilers coming in, and I'm processing that. One thing you said, ECR, that makes me think of one of the main moments to me of this episode is Christina's confrontation with Raven, because that is one of the points of contention when she is blaming D'Lo, and Raven's kind of trying to intercede and says, oh, don't blame the other woman, basically. It's all Dean's fault. And Christina lashes back a little bit. I thought that was an interesting moment. I don't know. I don't really know what to make of, you know, I don't think I have anything coherent really to say on that, other than I thought, okay, there's some interesting arguments on both sides where I could see when you're really upset the way Christina is, I don't know if you want someone kind of coming in and taking sides and lecturing you. On the other hand, I can see what Raven is sort of privately saying, where I don't know if I put a ton of blame on a third party like Danielle in that circumstance. I kind of blame Dean for that.
Christina is not, you know, Christina very, very, again, like admirably, does not blame D'Lo the entire time until Raven kind of brings it up. I mean, I don't remember exactly how
that's
it happened,
true,
but Raven kind of brings it up. And that part did make me mad, because that is the opposite of the the right time to say that to anyone. She just got told no. And, you know, Raven, this kind of my thinking this whole time is that there are three influencers, or let's just say two influencers and a few followers, like Raven and Dolphin Shark. Dolphin Shark's gone. Now Raven owns the place and Queen Rave. And then here she is saying, like, you can just leave. Like, this isn't not her. This isn't her island. This isn't her beach. And she's telling her that, and she does. She leaves, and I feel like she would be ostracized if she hadn't.
Okay.
You know, there was a lot of, like, power there behind Raven.
We got to back the train up here, because you both have brought up a few good points here. So, first of all, I think what this Twitter backlash against Christina is that what Raven is essentially doing is reminding Christina that she's on The Bachelor in Paradise. This isn't The Bachelor, and it's not real life. She's reminding her that you can't go around blaming people on the show, because it's a game show. And Christina, I think the backlash is because she's finally committed to pretending in her head that this is real life, and she's just going to go all in about being upset and blaming people and storming off and things like that, because it's not a good look for her at all. I mean, it's one thing to get emotional and have a breakup. I mean, that's kind of what the show's about. It's about hooking up and breaking up. But I think she's crossed the line, and people are starting to get tired with it. That's just my sense. The next part I just wanted to mention is, I think it's on the Tuesday part of the show, but her, Raven, and the guy she's with,
Puff Eyes.
Yeah, the guy Adam. The guy with the doll. They're in this sort of egg-shaped, like hacienda chair thing, and it's like they're like a king and queen holding court, like in Egypt or something. Like they're like Raven's spread out in a really in a pose that you would only do if you were thinking very hard about your pose. It's not
maybe
a natural pose.
Is she covering one eye? Is it an Illuminati?
She's got like a mask, like a Victorian mask or something like that. But it's totally her holding court. And I think maybe it was last week, you said something like that she was becoming less and less interesting because she was getting more and more queen-esque.
I mean, interesting, but I think by interesting, I mean, I like her less, you know, Raven.
Right,
I like Raven less. Yeah, I liked her. She could have been Bachelorette. I would have been like, woohoo, you know, she's great. But she's kind of out of control, right, with her power. And by the way, Dean says to the camera, not to Christina, but I'm sure, like, Craig, I think you brought this up, like, I love yous must have been exchanged during that road trip. And Dean says to the camera, I love Christina. And I know that that's, like, platonic love, mutual whatever, not love love, but he must have said that to her to get her to be so attached, because she is living in a, she's not living in the paradise.
Right.
Well, she's living in the, let's wait till we leave here so we can figure all this out time in her head.
Well, there's some...
plus,
no, oh, go, sorry, ahead, go ahead, Chris. No,
well, I'm going to scoop another bit of insight from one of my coworkers, Catherine. She had pointed out the way Catherine has a lot of good insights, and Catherine loves listening to the podcast, so shout out to Catherine. She had said one thing that, why am I blanking on? Who were we just talking? Raven didn't really intercede when Jasmine was sort of blowing up and blaming all of these other women. And I think Jasmine was criticized a little bit on this show for having that blow up. So I'm not saying, you know, those might be, we might agree, you know, we might agree that wasn't the best action for her to have there. But I did think, okay, that was a good point that I'd forgotten to your point, ECR, that I think Raven can be manipulative in a way in terms of who she picks and chooses to have these fights with. It's not consistent. Like, she's always trying to stick up for women not attacking one another. It's like, well, she's happy to let it go when it suits her.
Because Jasmine's part of her court. You know, Jasmine's her one of her lackeys for sure. That there's, you know, there was Alexis and Raven, then there's Jasmine, and there was someone else that I think left too, but there was definitely, or maybe Amanda. There was definitely that like feel of these are the girls. And everyone else needs to, you know, bow before you ask someone out or anything like that. It felt, you know, that Jasmine does some messed up things in this episode, and it's kind of taken as like salacious, but she does messed up things to Kristen, and no one says anything, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, the plot is definitely thickening the more we talk about this, because my first read just watching it the last couple of days was that this is kind of, you know, kind of a straightforward thin episode, but you're right, there's lots of complex what's the term, Chris, underwriting, the writing, the subtext. Yes, the subtexts are very rich here. Well, I was gonna say something that kind of off the cuff, but you know, maybe this might be another controversial thing to say, but you know, I feel like there's different ways people react when they're confronted with being hit on a lot, right? So girls like going to gay bars, right, because they don't get hit on, which is kind of a myth because straight guys go to gay bars to hit on the women. But, right, so if you're a girl and you get hit on, You can take it one of a few different ways, right? You can, there's some girls that are like, well, why are you hitting on me, right? Like some weird sort of I'm better than that response, or I'm better than you response, which is like catty, I guess would be the term. And then there's the you're hitting on me, like shock, like I can't believe you're hitting on me. I didn't think I would be something you'd hit on. And then there's like the, oh my god, I'm getting hit on, and you're a flirt with everyone and you do really well like on spring break because you have lots of guys vying for your attention. So I feel like D-Lo is that last part. Like, she gets hit on probably a lot. She has that look where she like likes to have a good time, probably doesn't seem too intense, right? So she's cool with Dean hitting on her. And then when they went back into the real world and she found out somehow that Dean was off dating Christina, she was probably like, all right, whatever. I go out with the other 10 guys that are hitting on me, right? And then I'm going to go blast Dean on the reunion. But then you got Christina, which for some reason, her reaction to getting hit on is different, right? So
are you talking about when Wabam, who is Waboom's enemy, hits on her?
Wabam. Well, yeah, kind of. Because, like, two things are happening with Christine at the same time that kind of, I think, are symptomatic of the same same personality trait, which is Dean isn't the best looking guy, and he doesn't have a great personality, and he has no upper lip, which I talked about at length. But
that's the main flaw for you.
But she kind of probably fit into her pantheon of guys she's attracted to. So he comes along and she gets super attached. Well, yeah. Also, Wabam comes along and hits on her, or doesn't really hit on her, asks her out on a date, and her response is completely shutting him down, right? So, like, she does not like getting hit on by guys.
Well, at least by him.
She's loyal, you know? I feel like she's just loyal.
See, I think it's a little different than that. I think that there's girls like D'Lo who understand that guys are going to hit on her, and even if they're not guys that she's interested in, she still is cool with them hitting on her, and she'll flirt just to kind of like let the guy feel good about himself, and then she'll go on to the next guy. But girls like, and this I'm sure is for guys too, I don't want to simply talk about girls, but I think Christina's reaction to get a hit on is, if you don't fit into that little zone that I think you're a guy I want to date, then I'm going to shut you down and make you feel miserable. And if you do fit into that little pantheon of guys, then I'm going to like become super attached because, you know, there's not that many guys that like that come along.
Whoa.
I'm speaking negatively about the type of person that I feel Christina is. Well, and I'm speaking positively about the kind of person I think D'Lo is.
Right. Isar, do you mind if I make a quick comment and go ahead. Because I will be curious to hear what you say. Because I think at least what I'm reading into what Isar said about Christina being loyal, I think I might agree with that. Because I think, let's say Dean is her ideal right now. She's really attached to him, attracted to him. I think even if a clone of Dean came in and was hitting on her and asking her out, I think she still would have had relatively the same response. That's kind of how I read it too. I didn't take it as like, well, if it's anyone that I'm not attracted to, I'm going to be rude or something. It's sort of like she just doesn't want to get involved while she's still trying to sort out her stuff with Dean. But Isar, what did you think?
Oh yeah, I mean, definitely exactly what you said. And again, it's just her being attached because she's not made for this world of super confident people who go out and like their lives are great, and then they then they date someone and then the next day they're not, and she's this world is definitely not for her with her background.
Right.
But you know, like, to be completely what's the word, like, not honest, but to kind of wrap it up completely, the Blake guy, Wabam, right?
That's what I like to call him.
That's pretty good. He, you know, I have discriminated against men like this.
Sweaty men.
No, just that, you know, him, he looks like a serial killer to me. That kind of blondie, like sandy, like, you know, what do you do? You're, you know, and it's definitely one of those, you know, it's like a Michael C. Hall kind of.
I was just going to say that. He does not look unlike Michael Hall.
Yeah, it's a very, it's an insidious, like, leftover from the last generation's movies of, like, who the bad guy is, really. But my last generation, you know, I'm 32, so I'm not exactly an 80s, you know, I didn't watch 80s movies until the 90s. But I just have, and I felt bad for him because this guy, Blake, at least on TV, does seem honest. And he does seem sincere in, like, wanting to date people. And I did feel bad for him, definitely.
Although they had the great montage of him always talking about Waboom.
Right. Yeah.
That turned me against him in terms of being annoyed by him. I felt a little bit like a mean kid there because I thought I might be kind of snarky and sarcastic to him if he were there, just because I was getting annoyed by him too.
Well, just going kind of tying what I was talking about a little earlier to where we're at now, haven't we all known people, and by people I pretty much mean girls, just because that's what I know. Haven't we all known girls that will, when they get hit on by a guy like Wabam, shut them down and make them feel awful about themselves just based on, like, that millisecond reaction to them? I mean, we've all known girls that do that, and it sucks. And like, while Bam didn't do anything to deserve the reaction, not just from Christina, but from all the girls.
They kind of, you know, all these girls are all living in their cliquey, so they all decided they don't like him, and that was it, yeah. Right?
And they'd all decided before they got on the show too, because they were all referencing, referencing conversations they'd had about him when they were all together in Nashville watching The Bachelorette together.
How many times did they watch the same episode knowing like every line? I was impressed with.
Well, they probably talked it over, I would imagine.
Right.
I remember Raven completely reenacted his. I thought that was great, where Raven is going the waka waka fart fart as they play. They replay that scene, which also felt staged. I don't know if you agree with
this, Chris, but this was a very early episode of Bachelor Masters. You talked about how the lighting of that confrontation was different than most other lighting on The Bachelorette.
And it's like the way that they face the camera. It's like they're on like the proscenium arch. They're like on the stage and they're both going through their lines.
Yeah, they're cheating towards the audience.
Super trippy for them to replay this thing that I was like, wait, that felt fake. And
it was
now
one of
Raven's
your first major insights.
So, you know, Queen Raven again decided this guy is not our dude. You know, this she decided before anything, and then everyone's like no, you know, to him, except Kristen, who does not fall for anything. Like, she is you could say naive or a little bit ditzy or whatever, but she just said she didn't care. She said yeah, sure, because she's not in their clique.
Well, she is independent, I'll give you that. That's
right.
True, she is game for anything.
Who, Kristen is?
Kristen, yeah. She's dated so many people this point.
Well, at the end of the day, she ends up basically with no one, right?
No, she ends up with Jack Stone. I mean,
well, kinda.
Up until what we know, she ends up with Jack Stone.
Yeah. I mean,
okay.
But, you know, that's kind of like they seem like brother and sister practically. Like, I just think it's funny. She was all like patting herself on the back because she was the center of all of the attention just a couple episodes ago, but now it's sort of all fizzled out.
Really?
She's just kind of left with Jack Stone.
I mean, she picked Jack Stone at the rose ceremony.
Yeah, but
to continue a relationship.
She doesn't really like him. I mean, it's not.
Really?
I don't think it's that intense of a.
I don't know. I felt like at least she picked him back, because for a while it just felt like he was like people were standing in the doorways when he's trying to like get to her. And then, you know, he's going to be like, I'm going to talk to her. And then someone comes up to her and steal. Like, it felt like one of those, you know, those scenes where someone keeps dancing and like you can't quite get to them because they're dancing on the other side of the room. I don't know if that makes any sense. Like, Jack Stone kept saying, I'm gonna go talk to her. Oh, she's making out with that guy. Whoops, okay, next time. And it just kept happening, and I was like, poor dude, I think he's too old for this. Like, he's not
a
really
little bit on the older side.
Well, is he one of the guys that, or am I putting words in his mouth, that has said something to the effect that he's never been in love before?
I can't remember.
Like, I think they all have said that at some point. And I tweeted when I'm on the Bachelor at Bachelor Masters, I tweeted something like, how are all these people going through life without being in love?
Well, you've got to say that. Well, I think someone this show said something to the effect of, I think it was Robbie with Amanda. He said, well, I've been in love before, but it's never been like this.
Nothing like the second date I've had with you, And I put
so
toxic chemicals in a
like
hot
that.
Tub for you. Yeah.
You can't say, like, okay, this is something that has a reasonable chance of working out. You know, you can't say something that's, like, middle of the road. Like, listen, we're compatible. I think I like you. I felt this way before, and I've been wrong. But let's find out anyway. You have to be like, no, this is the love to end all loves. Let's jump in. 100%.
It's the backward island effect, like not the like last man on earth kind of like, wow, I must love you because we're only, you know, you're one out of four guys here and everyone else is taken. You know, there's like a.
I would love it if someone said that. If they said, I must love you because everyone else is taken.
That's the way it definitely feels.
I know all love is different. Every person's different. Every connection is different. But I would never think that I've never been in love. I mean, I've been in love lots of times. It's all been different. I've had I've had many different levels of love and how I think it's going to work out in the end. But for all the, for these people to say, "Oh, I've never been in love" or nothing like this, it just seems. I mean, with Robbie, I think he can say shit like that, and he's probably just saying it. Like, I don't really believe anything he says. But the other guys, like, especially these sort of like middle of the road dudes, for them to say stuff like that is like, really? You've never just found, you didn't, when you were in college or working somewhere, you didn't just have a girlfriend that you felt, said you were, I love you to? It just seems odd to me.
These people are so maladjusted, they're willing to go on TV, you know, and find love. So maybe that's our bigger, like, oh, this is what they have in common. This is why they don't, why none of them have ever
that
been
is
like.
True. Yeah, they all are self-selected, and maybe that's one of the criteria. Real quick, I just wanted to mention, because it was on our unofficial sponsor Hulu playback of the show, is I thought the scenes with the girls trying to kiss Jack Stone to find out whether or not he was a good kisser, I thought that was kind of cute.
I like that.
It was fun to watch.
You know, there's not something behind everything. Like, I'm not trying to be like, yeah, but here is the insidious truth behind that scene. Oh, I don't know much about it, but I got so mad at Jasmine, because here's her trying to thwart every one of Kristen's options. That's how I felt. She decided on her own. It's like one of these two-faced favors, you know.
Very good insight.
I'm going to try to help her.
That's right.
You know, do her a favor and see if that's true. And then she also kissed Tickle Monster. I mean, it's almost like that stabbing you while smiling at you thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I got
Well, you're
so
totally right. Yeah, we never see Kristen actually say that she thought he was a bad kisser, because by all accounts, when she starts making out with him later, she loves it.
Right.
She thinks it's fine. So I'm not sure. That's a good point. I'd forgotten that Jasmine's the one who incites it. But I will say, I thought it was more charming than I thought it may have been, because it made me see Jack Stone in a better light. Because I got to say, I've never particularly disliked him. But I have thought, okay, he's kind of strange and intense, and this was the first opportunity as he's going and kind of kissing all of these women that he says, I don't know why they're all, like, I've gone from not kissing anyone the whole time I've been here to kissing everyone, and he just kind of has this smile, and he's like, and I'm not going to question it. And it didn't seem, I don't know, it just seemed okay somehow. It didn't seem, too creepy.
It was totally cute on his end, because he kind of stands there like, okay, I'll do that. And, you know, he has this innocence, but he's also kind of over their little kid stuff. He's, you know, they're high schooling him, like, to his face. They're like, Jack, we really want to know what it'd be like to kiss you. Like, it just felt so, like, stupid girls coming up to him. And
That's a good point.
I agree that it's you when it happens, because poor Jack, you know, he seems like a good guy in the end. He's sincere. He tries to actually look for someone he likes, but that connivingness from Jazz really got to me, like, behind the scenes. I'm like, you know what? I like this girl, and he's like Raven, and now look at them, like, they're on the bottom of my list.
This is another subtext that you've uncovered, Easy.
Yeah. Oh, and you uncovering these PowerPoints, you're making me see the show in a whole new light, where all the centers of power are. But one thing that came out of this that I thought they were going to make a bigger deal of, that they didn't, was, and Kristina makes a half-hearted effort to do this, but when Dean and Kristina are breaking up, she kind of says, oh, you picked Danielle D'Lo, this girl who was just making out with Jack Stone. And he kind of, like, glosses over it, like, I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that. But I thought she was going to try and make a bigger deal of that, because he does look a little disturbed. Maybe I'm projecting, but he seemed a little possessive and didn't like that.
She's totally right, though. I mean, he is choosing, you know, I don't know, that scene reminded me of, this is so cheesy. This is one of those movies. The scene reminded me of The Way We Were. Does anyone seen The Way We Were?
Never seen it.
Barbara Streisand, Robert Redford.
Definitely not seen it.
This movie, the only reason I ever watched it is because it gets referenced in every single girl show I watched. It gets referenced in Sex and the City, gets referenced in Gilmore Girls a ton. It gets referenced in, like, just girl shows after girl shows. I'm like, I gotta watch this. So basically the whole story is that Robert Redford picks the simple girl, the girl, over the woman, over the, like, advanced, like, brain, you know, the Barbara Streisand, who's the really complex intellectual person. And that's what Christina is saying. And he is like, yeah, that's what I'm going to pick because I myself am a child. You know, like, it didn't feel like he was worth it the way Robert Redford was worth it. Not that, you know, I don't even think I like that movie, but I like getting it when it's referenced now. And now I get to reference it. So I...
You get to continue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, Dean needs to get on his own level. I think he could help himself out if he realized, listen, maybe he's horny or something or wants to explore sexually with people and doesn't really want to connect emotionally. I think if he were honest with himself that way,
right.
Yeah.
He might do himself and other people. He would hurt other people less if he could just be like, listen, this isn't what I want right now. I'm interested in D'Lo because I'm attracted to her. End of story.
Right.
And it's probably going to end soon.
I couldn't agree more because, you know, I've mentioned this on past podcasts, which is there's the player that acts like Dean and then there's the player who acts like
Canada.
For lack of a, like, you know, if you come in confident and you sure you could have more than one girl, but if you give that girl all the attention that, you know, when you're with her and don't act all mooting, then you can get away with it. But more importantly, you can, try to date around, which is really the point of the show. But when you get all brooding like Dean, it just blur those lines and makes it not work at all for anyone. I did want to mention quickly though, Chris, sorry to interrupt, you know, I've been in a lot of hot tubs and I've been in hot tubs with girls, but I've never been in these hot tubs where like there's multiple couples all just making out with each other. Like it's, you know, junior high.
You just bring a lot of hand sanitizer and you constantly sanitize your whole, you stay in the corner, not
it's
touching
not the
anyone.
Germs that bug me, like bromine or whatever, you know, they don't put chlorine. They put bromine in hot tubs, which, you know, is effective disinfectant. It's just the standing around making out with somebody thing that is kind of strange to begin with. And then for everyone to be doing it all at the same time in a hot tub seems really weird to me. Probably to everyone.
Yeah, I'm a socially maladjusted person, so I'm not in situations like I've never been in situations that. But what I don't understand, even if I were, is I don't think I'd want to be making out kind of in public because really, how much of that your instincts, if you're making out a lot, would be to escalate that? And I'm
exactly.
not going to escalate around other people.
Like Amanda,
so
remember last season, she was making out with the baseball player dude. All season. That's all they would do is make out. Wouldn't, like, a minute into making out, you're like, all right, let's move on to second base and then the third base. So it's just me standing in a hot tub for hours on end making out just doesn't seem right. I don't know. Maybe the producers are like, all right, everyone stand around and start making out.
What do you think of the hot tub debate?
I avoid hot tubs in general for this reason. I don't like it's gross. I mean, it's just a little, you know, like you're watching people do it, and then you're doing. You know, that's not. I mean,
it's like spin
that's
the bottle.
Not me. That's not. But then again, they're also serving them. They are, you know, drinking all day. It looks like they're in and out.
That's
a
good
like
point.
People kind of stare at other people from the palapas or from the beach. So there's a lot of like movement of like, what are you doing over there? And they seem to layer it so that you can stare at people without them knowing.
Right. So. Absolutely.
Yeah, you're totally right. They stage everything so that if you're swimming in the beach, Dean and D'Lo, you're going to be staged near Christina and everyone's going to be kind of staged, but they're not going to know it exactly. You know, that's a good point.
Last season, the ones who I remember making out a lot were the boring Tanner and Jade.
And then
Grant and Lace, if you remember them, actually admitted to going to third base, like, or whatever, or having sex. I don't get bases. Every once in a while, they would just leave and have sex in weird places. And this was the Grant Lace thing reminds me more of the Derek and Taylor thing than anything else. They seem like more the similar couples because, you know, Lace is manipulative, Taylor's manipulative. Like, there was a lot of interesting, like, more overlap between them.
I would like to avoid conversation of Taylor if at all possible. Yeah.
No, but I'm all right. just saying, the makeout.
That's just my opinion, Chris.
My half comment on Taylor, so we can get it out of the way. Because if you want to talk about the ultimate of high school kind of relationship, that's it. Because they're always all over each other. But they revealed, and I think I forgot to bring this up last week. They revealed they haven't had sex, which I thought. Like, they revealed that they're really excited to get to a fantasy suite. And I thought, they always wake up next to each other and are always all over each other.
Yeah, but you know Taylor is the type of person, I keep saying person because I'm trying to not gender this, but it's just because it's been my experience, I'll just say girl. Woman. She's the type of woman that wears her first time having sex with somebody on a calendar. Like, I will not have sex with this person until 10 days in, period. You don't... Even though it's a completely arbitrary
deadline. You don't think she's lying? I think because she had sex with him early on, and I think she's also the kind of girl, Craig, I think you're right, but I also think she's the kind of girl who would have sex with someone but tell other people she waited 3 months because she's wants to appear, you know, restraint and... hard to conquer.
Yeah, okay. I think you're right. But maybe what we're both trying to say is that she just like she manipulated Derek into that corner so he had to apologize like a groveling, bumbling idiot. I'm sure she wears that. She does sex the same way. Sex is a award to be handed out to Derek upon the completion of, you know, said groveling or something.
Right. But I might have to go back in the episodes, but I remember they went on a date, if you remember, one of their first dates, and then they came back and they said something or alluded to the fact that they had sex. Like they said it or at least said, and then we spent the night, you know, one of these innuendos of sex. And then they showed a little bit of black and white video.
Huh. Right.
Yeah, I guess I don't remember.
Yeah,
that.
That's what I think that's. I think I remember something similar or a lot of shots from the night cam where they're like kind of snuggling in like their underwear or something. And I thought, oh, okay. So they've been being intimate together. They're kind of like a couple. Right. But then, Taylor said something and your explanation makes sense to me, ECR. I could totally see this, but she says like, oh, Derek and I, the one thing we haven't done is connected sexually, and she like puts her hands together. I thought, are you kidding? I don't know.
They haven't pushed their pieces together. It's so stupid. she's appearing to be this prude or something, but she's definitely. I think she had sex with him in the first.
Yeah, I could see that.
Well, I'm willing to cast my vote just based on talking about it. That, you know, maybe she's like. Third base is okay, but home is not. Like, you know, she's one of these like really methodical people who can abstract sex emotion from sex physical pleasure. Like, okay, you know, we went this far, but that's it. You know, we're not going any further. And the guy's like, what? You know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she's just like, oh, turn it off, you know, get, you know, put my robe on and go to sleep. And now, you know, I won that or something like that. So
definitely can see her doing that. But I think there's black and white video in this case. That's
like we've got the
we have to get into the vault, the production company's vault of, you know, raw footage to find out for sure, I guess.
But luckily, I think that's all. That's we really have to say about Ms. Emotional Intelligence this week.
Yeah. Who would have known she'd be one of the more interesting people this week? You know, I would like to go back to Wabam, real name Blake. Because I feel I really want to know from a girl's from a girl's perspective. What's wrong with him? because he's definitely okay physically. I find him more pleasing to the eye than Adam, Derek even.
Yeah.
You know, he's blonde, which is kind of rare and interesting. And he seems like a nice guy. So if we can maybe, for the sake of argument, pretend that the Wabam thing didn't happen, is there anything else to him that makes him particularly unattractive to the girls?
Yeah.
Is it solely because of Wabam?
No, he's, you know, I think he looks hungry to girls. And I think that was that. People don't like that.
He's malnourished and doesn't have enough iron?
He wants
it too much.
He looks desperate. Yeah. I mean, like, he looks like he's wanting to be there. And, you know, he is. He seems sincere when he says, I want to find a love. I came here for this. He seems sincere. I don't know. I'm not positive. But definitely there was two, like, social cues that, as a girl, despite his blonde hair, which is not my thing or whatever, you know, my personal feelings about the way he looks is not my guy. The two things that definitely stood out to me was that he came down seeming desperate or like asked more than one girl. That's totally a no for girls, like in their minds. And then secondly, you know, the queen said, ew, like basic Raven said,
right,
ew,
right,
in so
right.
many ways. And so that's kind of like a no.
Okay.
And
that's a good read. Like the power of Raven really kind of trumps everything. And I think you might have said this off air, EZR, that all of the five people that came in were really just set up for failure. There's no way any of them could win. And they kind of made a joke. The producers made a joke out of what Bam. No, I mean, they must have known that all this was going to happen because how could any of them come in and break up anyone? Well, I mean, that's happened in the past, but
right, it has to be that. Not... Sorry, it just has to be that drop dead gorgeous.
Right, and it's not Wabam.
Right,
or like, that's the twins kind of had a chance because you know they have that sort of like
right, they have
look
that power
to them, but they really screwed the pooch. But we're not quite there yet. So he's just rubs everyone the wrong way and came at the wrong time and looked too desperate and
right.
Raven didn't like him most likely because of the Wabam situation. That's basically the book on him.
Yeah, I mean, honestly too, the blonde, I don't know. I mean, I dated blonde guys in high school, but that's all I had. That's the only options I had. Now that I have more options, I realize, like, you know, I don't know, whatever. He seems nice. He's just not, I don't know. It might just be TV. I feel bad because I really do kind of like him. Mm-hmm. And then he, you know, he's just kind of sad. So, yeah,
right.
He's okay. I don't know. He probably wouldn't have done very well if he would have came in at first either, like the
right.
first couple weeks, says me.
The editing on the show is so powerful because I think if he were edited to suggest that we should like him, we'd totally like him. Because I agree with Craig that he's no, you know, whatever, looks are subjective, everyone is a different type, but I don't think he's any more funny looking than Adam. I think Adam, I still can't believe that he's somehow in any sort of stable couple with Raven, but
yeah,
they give us the montage. They show us all the ways that people don't like him and we're not supposed to like him. And I'm like, I did have that feeling like of how arbitrary this is. Where I'm like, there's some guys like Tickle Monster who I like a little more this time, you know, his personality, but it's kind of a weird looking guy to me. And Adam, who's kind of a weird looking guy to me, somehow making this work, yet we're supposed to laugh off Wabam here, laugh him off.
Right.
Right,
exactly.
Raven chose Adam, and that's a mystery, but I'm sure everyone respects it. Like, you know, it's not a mystery, right? She just did it to screw over her friend or to like be the winner.
Yeah, she can't exactly break up because that would expose her, so she's got to wait till the show's over.
Right.
And you know, well, I don't know. That's why I'm talking about it. Well, I'm really curious to see what happens next week when they're all confronted with this. Like, they all have to come right out and say whether or not they're going to stay in the relationship or not. And that, unless handled deliberately, could really expose Raven and some of the others.
Yeah, we'll see. The ending is kind of unclear, only because there's not much precedent, except last season there was a lot of proposals. But the season before that, I know, you know, you guys, we just started this podcast, but there was no, this is what happens the last episode. There's right. just kind of I'm guessing, you know, they're going to do fantasy suites, but then there's this like reunion show in the typical studio, whereas last time it wasn't like that. So there's not really much of a precedent the way they're all acting like we're getting to the end here. What's going to happen? Like it feels way like they're acting like it's tied together for us, or that we know like what could happen, but we don't, you know, it's frustrating that they are making me feel like a bad Bachelor fan when I know that they don't have a plan. Like, no,
right. Well, that's why I think Bachelor in Paradise is the most interesting of the Bachelor universe, just because of the unpredictability. But I think that's probably why The Bachelor and The Bachelorette are the more popular, is because of the consistency, right?
That's a good point.
Sort of like, you know,
they should have a little fox come out, like in the movie Antichrist, and he says chaos reigns, and then he just trots away, and that's how they end Bachelor in Paradise. Before the last episode, he comes out and says chaos reigns.
A little crab comes out?
Yeah, right, the crab.
That was a little wolf fox man, right? That was the cutest part of that whole movie.
Isn't that reference in The Simpsons when... Homer drinks, something that's
like
been
a pepper
stale.
Something.
Oh. Yeah, the pepper. Yeah, the pepper. And he goes on that trip, and the fox comes out and starts talking to him. I don't know if that's exactly referencing that movie.
I don't think Lars Montreyer is very. I don't think he's a consumer of American pop culture at all. But who knows? Maybe he is. I don't know.
But I have no idea how this will end either, to both of your points. But I don't even know how obvious things will end often, so that doesn't mean anything. So I'm glad to hear you also don't know, ECR, because you are a pro.
Well, now might be a good opportunity to talk a little bit about The Bachelor. So, spoiler alert, I'm hooked up to some fan... I think it's called Fansided. It's a yet another gossip site. They have an app for my phone, and it's actually can be dangerous because they're on the East Coast, and they'll post spoilers about the episode.
So annoying.
That'll alert on your phone, before it hits the Pacific side. For our international listeners, I don't know how that works for you. Maybe post how the spoilers work for you in your time zone on our Facebook page. So anyway, on Fansided, it's been a busy couple days. It seems like every hour or every couple hours, it's the next Bachelor is going to be announced on Good Morning America. And then it's Peter's out, you know, and don't, you know, according to the blah, blah. And then according to Reality Steve, you know, Peter's back in. So I had heard that they were going to announce The Bachelor on Monday, and then they were going to do something on Good Morning America, but it seems like we're in a total tailspin as to what's happening.
Right. So Mike,
who it's going to be.
Mike Fleece, I'm guessing that's how you pronounce it, the producer, the first producer that comes on when the show's over, his name is the first name. He has a Twitter account that is like, I guess, become huge because maybe he announces it, or maybe he's a super, you know, he's teasing people. And on the Bachelor pages I'm signed on, also same thing, I have to not go on from 6 to 9
right,
if I watch it the day of, you know, they're annoyed. They're all like, who is it? Why is this guy toying with us? Because they did say they were going to announce it soon, and now they're not. And, you know, maybe it's because they wanted Dean and then no one likes him, so they're saying no. Is it between Dean, Peter, who else are the prospective?
Oh, Luke
again.
Luke, right. Nick again.
Nick again.
They can't do Nick again. That's so. That'd be kidding. So cheap. Oh, okay.
And God, you know, we've said this before, but God forbid they actually pick someone new. I mean, that would be radical.
All right.
Well, yeah, I think we've established that the Bachelor Masters is not a fan of Peter, so we're rooting for someone else.
I'll take Fred, the bad boy, but they'll never Fred's pick him because no one knows who he is.
Yeah, it was weird. When Fred came in, everyone was all about him. All the girls were like, ooh la la. And I thought he was going to steal
Dominique
from Iggy.
Diggy.
Sorry. Because Diggy, I think, you know, we had a big conversation about him last week on the podcast about how Diggy, really, we have to kind of consider him a really good guy because he doesn't have anything, none of his personality fits into the things we don't like about all the other guys, right?
So, although I've soured on him a little bit.
I have soured on him too. He's just dull and has, so far, at least on camera, not done anything that seems...
Well, I've stuck up for him, but I thought, and it's hard, I'm going to show I'm a little bit of a hypocrite because he is on a game show, as we've said, and the point is to date around. But I'd always thought, okay, Diggy is kind of one of these guys that doesn't get any play from anyone, but when he does, he seems fine. But now that when Fred comes in, I thought, oh my goodness, Diggy, he kind of becomes this opportunist because he pushes Fred out. But then as soon as who's the person that comes
Jamie comes in,
right?
He's happy to leave Dominique and go make out with her. And I thought, oh, come on, Diggy. I thought you were going to stand for something, man.
Right. But, and then why didn't Dominique go after Fred?
I know, because Diggy tricked her.
Yeah, kind of. That's true. Diggy, played a like a, you know, like a let's get to know each other game, and Dominique. I mean, I don't want to say she fell for it. They might really honestly like each other. He is kind of boring, but I mean, he's fine, you know. In real life, I'm sure they'd be fine together. But
I like his glasses.
Yeah, he's
well. They're different every.
He's yeah. They are maybe they're not prescription. Right. I hate that as a glasses wearer. I really, really take offense to that.
I love like, his superficial look of his fake ass yeah. glasses.
Yeah. You know, left field bachelor, possible bachelor for me, someone who I loved on Rachel's season, and I'm on a lot of boards and a lot of Facebook groups that kind of ask for, you know, who should be the next bachelor should be black, since, you know, and I'm right. not, I don't think one way or the other, I don't really care. I'll watch it anyway, probably, unless it's someone I really hate. But I loved Will. And if Will, he's doesn't seem like he's made for Bachelor Nation, but I really think he would be
a
great bachelor.
Which one was Will? You have to remind
Will
me.
Is, he got cut, he, you know, him and Rachel kind of decided they were friends. He got cut, I don't, not super early, but a little bit, like maybe when they were 7 left. He's just a really smart, well-rounded guy. And what I really liked about him is that, you know, as long as we're kind of like edging around this race issue, Eric, who I really did not like,
right.
who's also right. kind of in that batch, said to him, have you noticed, you know, that Rachel is not picking the black guys, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And Will says, no, man, it's not like that. This is, you're kind of being ridiculous. You're just looking for things when you want to look for things for reasons to not, like, you know, be good enough. Like, he says something that was actually really concise and shuts Eric down. And in a positive way. And I really liked that. And I thought, and then every chance he had to be a good guy, he was, he quelled a lot of things, and he seemed smart and concise. And I really liked, you know, but he was early. He was cut off super early. So who knows? What right. do you guys think?
I've got a photo of him up. So I see who you're talking about. Okay. Yes.
I think given the investment that ABC has made into the race and other culturally sensitive particulars of the last couple seasons, I think it would reinforce that investment in order to have a black bachelor. I think that'd be a good and interesting move.
Right. I mean, yeah, they're really trying to they are really trying with the whole DeMario thing, because they put it on themselves that he's getting blamed for things, you know, and they're not putting it on DeMario, and they're not putting it on there. I'm not, The Bachelor is the last place I look for racial sensitivity of any, that's not why I watch the show, or that's not what I'm looking for, or it's not really there. It comes off as kind of insulting when they do it, so I don't really care that they do it or not. So.
Well, I think I agree when they get out in front of things, a la they perceive that they're getting out in front of things, like the after school special early on this season when they're talking about consent or whatever. That feels a little weird to me when it's like, let's have a discussion about this thing. But some of the things that happen sort of by accident or seem like they're reflective of whatever, a big corporate, you know, ABC making decisions and broadcasting it to millions and millions and millions of people. That's interesting to me. So I think I'd agree. I don't necessarily want them to be telling America, you know, how to feel about race. But when they make certain choices and people, we can have conversations like this, that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
Things shift, especially in America. I don't want to speak for other countries, but things tend to shift as opposed to change gradually. So, you know, have a Black Bachelor, you know, suddenly the conversation has shifted, and, you know, that's just another good advancement in the sort of complicated and storied history of race on broadcast television.
But I agree. If anyone's going to pat themselves on the back, like, let's solve racism.
Right.
That's not going to work.
It's the American Broadcasting Company, owned by the Disney Corporation.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see here. So twins? Do we go twins?
Yeah.
We got to discuss the twins.
Okay. Can I go first? Please?
Yeah.
Can I go? Okay. So I followed the twins. I watch. Okay, so for those that aren't familiar, there's a network called Freeform, and it used to be ABC Family, and so it's supposed to have this sort of family-oriented, no sex, no drugs, that kind of, no violence kind of thing. But I guess it's these like 200 channels on cable that are constantly rebranding themselves. So who knows what Freeform's about, but that's where it comes from. And Ben and Laura had their own show.
Ben and Laura.
Which was awful and didn't do well. And now they're broken up. But the twins were big parts of that show. Somehow they were in Colorado every week. And they would give them stupid jobs like fix Ben and Lauren's toilet, and that would be like a segment. Well, the show eventually turned into the twins' show. It was called The Twins Happily Ever After? Does that sound right?
That's what Ben and Lauren's show was called.
It was twinning or something, was it? Yeah, but it had some
question
on Happily Ever After or something.
Yeah.
And it was, I think it was 4 episodes or 5, and it had an arc where they're coming to LA or Venice Beach and trying to make it somehow
as twins.
They tried out for the cheerleaders for the Clippers, I think.
Oh.
So anyway, I don't want to eat up the entire podcast explaining their backstory, but that's all to say is that they've been given a lot of time, and I think have done actually really well. Like, yeah, they're horribly uneducated and unaware of their surroundings and don't seem to care that they literally cannot place Florida on a map.
Oh my goodness.
Or Mexico for that matter.
They
and
don't
that's kind of
that
come
Mexico
across
Mexico isn't part of America.
Yeah. That's always been, exactly. Well, we'll get to that. So that's always kind of been played off, and then we met the mom and it sort of like made sense. And but everything changed for me this episode because we saw the other side of that, like the not cute side of their personalities. Like, we saw all the same traits that have been on display for the last couple of years, but flipped around into the alternate universe where those traits really come across like selfish and self-centered and fake. You're right. I think they totally made up that Mexico thing. It's like, say something stupid, okay. And then they're like flipping people off as they leave, which I guess before would have been cute, but now like people at the bar were like, why are you flipping us off? We didn't do anything.
That was so funny when Rob and then was the like, throwing, what did I do? Like in the most throwing, like, lax voice.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that's kind of my piece. You know, I feel like maybe a theme of this week is that we're seeing everyone's turn, you know, we're turning on the people on the show, and this is just another example of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the twins were definitely never, they were always, they might have been always ditzy, but they were sweethearts, you know, right. And I thought that whole whole Tuesday episode was completely just, let's fill time, let's, you know, hear some lines. They are not aggressive girls. I don't know them. I watched some of that show you were talking about, Craig, and I watched the almost, I watched half of like the Ben and Lauren show, but that's not these girls. They were always sweet. And then they turned them into these evil, like, it's just, it was super ridiculous. It kind of felt to me like there was a whole season of Cheaters that was obviously scripted, because it was so ridiculous. Like, there was a metal guy, and at the end he's like, I don't care, metal rules, I'll cheat on everyone I want. Like, totally, totally fake. And it was entertaining in its own way because it was fake. But this felt rude. You know, it felt rude of the show to kind of think that we don't remember these girls. And that these are these girls. And then, you know, just, I don't know if you guys want to talk about Jamie, but the Jamie thing felt, the girl that came in that was bisexual kind of felt manufactured in her own way. You know, she was supposed to be the wild one and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, but I totally agree.
It was so empty. Like, that whole hour on Tuesday was just felt like an empty, like nothing, like let's script something. Oh, we're bad writers. Or, you know.
Yeah. Well, another subtext is you know, things that have worked in the past just don't work this week. Yeah, it's just another example. Like, they've rolled the twins out before numerous times, whether it's the live shows or whatever, and it's worked. And this time it just didn't work.
Yeah, and Jamie, I thought was funny, and apologies to Jamie if this is untrue. This is my speculation, but I felt like she's someone who's maybe dated a woman once in her life or something, and is basically,
she said something to that effect. Actually.
Yeah, like basically straight, but that she's being—that's her character to play up. That, oh, she's bisexual. She never seems interested in a woman, and she even says at one point, "I wasn't allowed to date when I was younger, so my way around it was like, okay, I'm gonna, you know, go out with girls or something like that." But that basically, I'm attracted to men. And I thought, this just feels like such a stupid representation of, like, you know, like true bisexuality does not look like this. I think, again, apologies to her if she is having a great dating life with men and women, but that's not the sense I got.
It's like the wildest branch, you know, and obviously sometimes daughters and moms watch this together. Sometimes families watch this show, and that's like as wild as they could make somebody is like, hey, I sometimes like girls. And it was so, like you said, it's not a representation of a true, like, LGBT, whatever kind of person. That's just a college. I mean, maybe she is, who knows, but she seems like how a Christian person would describe a bisexual person to me.
Yes, exactly. If she really is bisexual, it's almost like the way she shot or edited or somehow presented, it's like they're trying to hide that part. It's like she's the most straight bisexual, you know. I don't know. Just my opinion.
It's either a slippery slope or it's definitely not real. It's just a phase kind of thing. Right. And you're just like, what? Which one is, you know? It was... pretty, I mean, for all their progress, like we're talking about, their at least their like attempt at racial, some kind of standing on the right side of history with race thing, even though they're like 20 years too late with that. Here they go portraying this person who is not a, you know, a good representative of LGBTQ, and then here she comes out being like, oh my God, like, you know, like, weird. I'll kiss a girl. I don't care. And, you know, everyone kind of comments on it, but no one, obviously, it's not going to, you know, it was never going to happen.
Right. Yeah. Hmm. And then the twins, what more can be said? You guys have said a lot of it. I had never seen them before, so I didn't know that this was different than how they normally acted. But it still totally felt produced, even if that was their personality. It was like, here's this hurricane that we're going to throw at you at the last moment. But it's totally impotent. It's like, we're going to break these people up, but they find they're like, they come in and say, we have eyes for only, you know, one of us has eyes for one person. So two people, Derek and Deanie baby. And then Derek, they're like, oh, he's in a couple of Taylor. Never mind. Let's not try that. And then Dean, they kind of make it seem like they're going to be more persuasive in the previews than when they actually confront him, and he sort of has to say, no, I'm sorry.
Well, it's just another example of Dean being a douchebag, if anything.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I keep saying, you know. Apparently, you know is my new version of like, because I'm trying to remove like from my... It's so hard doing this radio thing. One thing that comes to my mind is you know, you can't... there I go again. It's hard, obviously, to have alchemy on a reality show. So some reality shows that do really well, like Vanderpump Rules, and even shows like Below Deck, which do change up the cast, but they still maintain some cast. You know the alchemy in the show can get better each season, right? Because you know what to expect. And then you have shows like The Real World, which are different characters every season, but the way that they make sure it stays interesting is they increase the entropy of the show, right? They keep adding new crazy elements that just completely are out of left field. And so I give The Bachelor credit for maintaining the integrity of the show from season to season, and we can't fault them for this particular season kind of running dry and feeling repetitive and produced, and the twins not working at all, right? Like, we can't expect magic or lightning to strike every time. But at the same time, these are professionals, right? They're in TV, they know what they're doing, and a lot of them have advanced degrees probably in narrative things, and couldn't they have known that rolling out the twins was maybe not going to work this time?
Possibly. Maybe it's a production thing too, because I'm sure the way production works, it's like you've got X options, and then the one you go with is the last one that doesn't fall through sometimes.
I don't normally you know, like, I understand that sometimes when they cut things, it's not going to be exactly the way it looks. Like, you know, they're like, what's going to happen this season? And someone has a big gash and it's bleeding. And really, when you watch the episode, it's because they fell, not because they got hit, but they make it look that way. I understand I give them that leeway. But when they completely have an hour of fluff and they try to tell me that next, you know, tomorrow on Monday night, that they're going to tell me Tuesday night's episode is going to be crazy because some girl's going to kiss, try to date other girls. Two girls are going to come in and try to disrupt these relationships, honestly. Then that's when I'm like, okay, so this time you really did waste an hour of my time.
Right.
Unlike the times where I'm like, yeah, I get that they're going to like exaggerate or like cut things to be, you know, up to interpretation. It's a little different.
That's a good point. Well, I think we can agree that the shutdown, I haven't seen the previous season of this, but if this feels a weaker season, it's because they're trying to stretch whatever material they had to 6 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, I think bottom line is, the shutdown affected it, absolutely. I think the bigger picture is they got to stop relying on people we're familiar with. They need, it's like, what do they, there's a term for it when soap operas advance their kids to an older age. It happens every couple of years where they want a new generation of stars. So all the kids, the babies and the toddlers, like, suddenly become teenagers.
I want to know whatever this term is.
Yeah,
that,
I kind of do too.
Should I
never
look it up?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
You know, there's kind of this. It's pretty sad, but it seems to be kind of coming up in Bachelor in Paradise only. The fact that these women, when they hit 32, they're phased out. You know, right. The 24-year-olds stick around until they're about 28. Like, the tweens barely... I think they put up their 24. That means they went on Ben's season when they were 21 or something.
Right. Or oh, my 22. Goodness.
The so, babies.
It's called SORAS, by the way.
Oh.
Soap opera rapid aging syndrome, and it started, the first instance of it was As the World Turns in 1970.
Wow.
They aged a guy rapidly. So
rapidly.
Oh, and they mentioned the growing pains where Chrissy Seaver was an infant and then suddenly becomes an adolescent. So anyway,
well, the twins are an example of a soap opera turn here, too. It sounds like if their character was something completely different, that's something soap operas like to do all the time, where they make the heroes villains and, anyone can be anything any episode. So there's SORAS and twinning going on here.
Oh,
I feel like I interrupted you, though.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, sir.
Oh, no. I was just trying to make sure you had enough time to look up that term.
Oh, you were stretching.
that's the professionality we've gotten to at this point in Bachelor Masters. That's good work.
Yeah, you're making the opposite sign that Taylor does, like instead of the pushing it together.
Yeah,
like,
I was a downward. Yeah, that's funny. I was doing a vocal fry. Well, maybe on that note, we wrap up because we're already
getting toward the end.
An hour and a half. Yeah, and I feel like we've done this week justice and. I'm sure there'll be lots of things to discuss next week.
Yes.
Say?
Next week's going to be heavy.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The heavy. Finale. Is there something wrong with the Earth's gravitational field in the future?
Heavy emotionally. For sure.
Oh, doubling back real quick to your age comment, too, though. I do find that, I know this is a standard that unfortunately is... extended elsewhere beyond The Bachelor, the kind of ageism and the way that it's different for men and women cap out a lot younger than men. But last season, I think Peter was one of the contestants, but there were like two contestants that were like almost 40. Oh, one of them was right. Brian, who won, that his mother was the overbearing mother. And that I always forgot because they look, obviously they're pretty good looking guys. They look kind of young. They looked younger than 40, but they would show his age and it was almost, like 38 or 39, something like that. And right. His mother was so possessive as though he were like a dean 24-year-old kid, but he's like a 40-year-old man.
He aged on the side of the mountain in
Peter did. That's
right. Oh, that's right. That's Peter.
But well, he's about the same age.
Right. He had the men have to be established. So it takes a while, right. A doctor. I mean, he's a chiropractor. A doctor.
Yeah, a chiropractic physician. Right.
Point.
Yeah.
Well, and I will give Tickle Monster, he is very young if he is like an MD. That is a good point. But I do find it a little, sadly ironic because I agree. I see all the women are always so much younger. And even if they're older women, like Rachel's the oldest bachelorette ever, is like 31 or 32. That's right. Crazy to me.
Yeah.
So it's too bad. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. We were wrapping up.
No, that's definitely here. That's definitely here.
Just take care of yourselves out there. Be safe.
Yes. Well, there's lots going on in the world that's obviously a lot more important than reality TV. So I hope everyone stays safe and, does good work in the world. There's been lots of people doing good work down in Houston, and keep it up.
Yeah.
So with that, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.